What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Aaron Rodgers has called some of those unknowns a beautiful mystery, or maybe it's just a mystery, depending on who you ask. We welcome you to NFL Live. You see him right there, Field Yates, Mina Kimes, and Jeff Saturday joining us today. We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers and hear from him in just a minute. Also coming later, the reason why wide receivers are wary about playing in the Ravens offense. But we begin with Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers still doesn't have a contract extension done with the Packers, and that means the door's open for him to leave after next season. It seems Rodgers himself is prying that door open anyway, but the Packers continue to avoid talking about him or an extension despite the MVP performance last season. Here's Rodgers with SportsCenter's Kenny Mayne earlier today.
Do you want to finish your career there? Do you want to be a lifer in Green Bay? I mean, it's kind of been your team so far.
Yeah, so far it's definitely been my team. I said last year, I didn't know if that was actually possible to be able to finish there. I still feel like that's kind of where we're at. I mean, I don't know that a lot of that's in my hands, but I guess we'll kind of see as we go.
Well, when you say things like that, then people, he just said it's not in his hands. He might be right. Like, things get misinterpreted. Wouldn't you like to just proclaim, I'm there. I'm your guy. I want to keep throwing for Lombardi Avenue all day.
Ken, you and I both know that's not how it works.
No. Like Russell Wilson. He just answered a question.
Yeah. I'm not, necessarily going to approach it like how that some of that stuff came out. But look, like I said last year, there's things that are just out of my control. The team has obviously the power to do what they want. My job is just to play as well as I can. I think there may have been, ideas about what certain things meant in the last year. I just focused on my play, went out and played really well, won MVP, and I've been having a hell of an off season. So that's kind of what's been going on with me.
Woo, there's a lot there. Okay, Mina. There was a time where Rodgers regularly said, go Pack, go, in these interviews. What do you think he wants?
Yeah, and also, Laura, a few years ago, I do remember him saying in interviews he wanted to retire a Packer. Now, I don't know what Aaron wants based on that interview. I don't think he gives a definitive answer very purposefully. But we do know what Green Bay wants. We know what they wanted when they signaled a year ago that they were seeing the end of the road with Rodgers by taking Jordan Love in the draft. There's just no other way to interpret that. And we know what they want now because they have not done everything possible to maximize this roster and go all in on Rodgers in the way that we've seen other teams with older quarterbacks like the New Orleans Saints do with cap gymnastics. Doing so would require them to restructure his contract and commit to him long term. Look, there is no way the Packers saw last season, the MVP season from Rodgers coming. Because if they did see it coming, they would not have drafted Jordan Love. Anyone who tells you that is lying or lying to themselves. And at this point, given the lack of activity in terms of restructuring on both sides and the lack of commitment on both sides, I don't see how we can look at this as headed towards anything but a divorce in the near term.
Yeah, I mean, I agree on that last line there, specifically about an eventual divorce from Aaron Rodgers. And what we've gotten ourselves into now is trying to read between the line of ambiguous quotes from Rodgers and non-quotes from the Packers. So it's left us to play a little bit of a guessing game here, but there are some facts that can lead us to conclusions that I think are reasonable to expect to happen at some point. As you mentioned, he was a first-round pick last year, coming off of an NFC Championship game appearance on a quarterback. You also mentioned they haven't touched the contract. They have touched plenty of contracts this offseason. Za'Darius Smith, Mason Crosby, Billy Turner amongst them to push money into the future in 2022. The reason why that's notable is that if the Packers were to have done the same with Aaron Rodgers, it would have made their exit strategy, if they are inclined to move on from Aaron Rodgers in 2022, a more difficult path to navigate. And one thing that I think is fair to wonder is that if you're Aaron Rodgers, an incredible Hall of Fame quarterback who brought another Super Bowl, has brought multiple MVPs to Green Bay, are you going to want to, if you are eventually going to have to play elsewhere besides Green Bay, Are you going to want it to be when the Packers tell you it's time to go because they're ready to turn the page onto Jordan Love? Or might you be more inclined to force the issue yourself and say, you know what? I'm too darn good to have to worry about being a year-to-year quarterback. I know he wants assurances, as Rob Domofsky has reported this offseason, our Packers reporter, as it pertains to his contract. But at some point, these non-answers and these non-definitive answers make me think more and more that that divorce is coming sooner rather than later.
Listen, I think Aaron Rodgers made it very clear what he wants in his interview. He wants to be a Green Bay Packer. When you look at if they're going to give messages through the media, he's given the same message right backfield. He's, hey, man, the team is in full control, and they are. Here's what he wants. He wants the team to eat crow. Hey, we drafted a guy in the first round to replace you. We messed up. We're going to give you an extension. Jordan Love's going to sit the bench the rest of this rookie contract, move on somewhere else, or we'll find a way to trade him. But ultimately, we have to say that we made a bonehead decision. We could have given you someone to help you and possibly win a Super Bowl last year. Instead, we got to the championship game and lost. So ultimately, he does want to be in Green Bay. I see it completely different than you guys. I think that's where he wants to be. He understands this team is right to win. They're going to get a receiver. They have a very good offensive line. They can continue to help him. To go somewhere else and start over is not what every guy wants to do. But the problem is the Packers have to admit the mistake. And until they do, by giving him an extension and doing what he wants, he's going to keep giving these answers. The guy's been around the game way too long to try to play these games like what Kenny was trying to do. He's not Russell Wilson, man. The guy's an MVP. He's been in Green Bay. He understands how to put pressure on the Packers through their own fan base. I think he's playing it the way he should.
Well, maybe I'm just pettier, have more experience in putting pressure on people. But if I was Aaron and I really wanted to push it with Green Bay, he's already made them eat crow, Jeff, by the way, with his play last season. I would come out and say, hey, I'd love to redo my deal, open up some cap space so we can go out and win a Super Bowl. And then people would look towards the Packers and say, all right, your Hall of Fame quarterback wants to do it. But he didn't say that, and I do think it's telling that he hasn't committed to the team long term.
Yeah, Mina, you really do bring the pressure. Watch out, people. You never know what she's going to do. Also, later on, we're talking more Packers, and specifically about next year. Is it their last chance to win a Super Bowl? Don't miss that. All right, the week of big-time pro days continues with Oregon left tackle Penei Sewell showcased today in Eugene. You see him right there, 30 reps on the bench press. That's all he's done so far, so we'll keep you updated on that. Bengals fans may be happy to know their head coach, Zach Taylor, and GM Duke Tobin were in attendance. Also, the Vikings and Packers had their GMs there. Scouts Inc. has Sewell listed as the third best overall prospect in this year's draft class, giving the Oregon offensive tackle a 94 overall grade. He trails only Trevor Lawrence and Ja'Marr Chase in their rankings. It's huge when it comes to what you might think he could do at the next level. And ESPN senior draft analyst Todd McShay released his mock draft 4.0 yesterday. Here's a look at his top projected 10 picks, which includes the Panthers trading up one spot for North Dakota State's Trey Lance. All right, with that mock draft yesterday, guys, let's run through some things that you loved or maybe didn't love in that mock. Jeff, you go first.
Yeah, Penei Sewell going past the Bengals. I just do not understand it. This guy, he's a you know, plug and play. 10 years, going to be your starting left tackle. He's going to make you a better football team. If you look at numbers historically in the NFL, when you protect a quarterback, their QBR goes up from 30s in the 40s when they get pressure to 70s when they do not. I don't care about all the shiny toys we all talk about. Receivers, tight ends, you have got to protect them. You watched Joe Burrow get carted off last year. You cannot have that same thing happen again. Sewell going to the Bengals is a must.
So I'm fascinated by the Eagles taking, hypothetically, Micah Parsons, the Penn State linebacker, number 12 overall. In some ways, perfect fit. This is a team that has had a huge hole at linebacker. Parsons can do it all. He can blitz, he can cover, he can tackle. However, going down from 6 to 12 as they did and missing out on one of those top-tier wide receivers will be a bitter pill for Eagles fans to swallow. And for that reason, it makes me a little nervous.
I got my eyes on pick number 18, which is where Todd had Caleb Farley, the cornerback from Virginia Tech, going to the Arizona Cardinals, whose cornerback depth chart is razor thin right now. The concern with Farley is he recently had a back procedure that's going to cost him about 4 months in terms of recovery time. But Laura, I love this player. He could be the best defensive prospect from this draft by the time it's all said and done. He is so smooth. He would fit perfectly in Arizona at pick 18.
Yeah.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
How many times have we wondered why the Ravens didn't grab a wide receiver for Lamar Jackson? Well, a lot. Seemed like free agency was a good time to try. It turns out Baltimore did try, but it just didn't work. T.Y. Hilton confirmed he turned down a multi-year offer from the Ravens this offseason. Here's more from T.Y.
I wanted to stay here no matter what the cost was, and I gave up a lot of money to stay here, and that's what I wanted to do.
So, Mina, also, Juju Smith-Schuster went back to Pittsburgh despite an offer for more from Baltimore. What do you make of these moves? Why don't these guys want to play for the Ravens?
Well, Laura, there are some unusual circumstances. The offseason, of course, this year has been strange in terms of contracts, and some of these guys are just going back to the teams that they've played on before. But you can't deny the fact that the Baltimore Ravens have the lowest receiving yards of any team for wide receivers over the last 2 years in the NFL. Now, it would be unfair to pin all of that on Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, if you want to talk about T.Y. going back to the Colts and Juju going to the Steelers, Lamar was more accurate last year than Carson Wentz, had a lower off-target percentage, and has a better deep arm than Ben Roethlisberger at this point. But the passing game in Baltimore has struggled. The concepts have been stale. It's a run-first offense. All of this factors into it, as well as the lack of receiving talent. For me, the question is, how do they get better? Yes, they signed Sammy Watkins, but that can't be it for Baltimore. Do we start looking towards the draft for this team to improve for their skill players? Because otherwise, I don't see a path.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mina. I mean, when you look at this, this is really like a vicious cycle. They need to get better at receiver, but their offense doesn't allow them to, so guys don't want to sign there. And it just continues. So they go, well, we can't get receivers. We can't get better. It just becomes that cycle. But when I think about T.Y. Hilton in particular, I think this was really a comfort fit. And honestly, maybe for Juju Smith-Schuster as well, when these guys understand what's expected of them, what the culture in their locker room is, what the offense is going to look like, I think that gives comfort to guys. And especially with, like you said, this weird kind of offseason, T.Y. Hilton, it's a one-year deal, right, with the Colts. These teams are going to be good football teams. They know Baltimore is. So what's the real upgrade for them? If they don't really know what they're getting into, they don't know that the offense is going to necessarily be built around them or feature them, these guys are just deciding to stay home. And, again, they're going to need somebody. Like Watkins is going to have a big year, or somebody they draft has to have some big numbers to get guys interested to go in there with this offense. And that has nothing to do with Lamar Jackson, to your point, Mina.
It's worth noting that this is really an issue that I believe is most pertinent to the 2020 season, because if we're going to nitpick what happened in 2019 with this Ravens offense, it's also the same team that we were talking about as the runaway favorite for the Super Bowl going into the playoffs. But I do think it is interesting to see how this dynamic evolves for Lamar Jackson going forward, because while systematically it's a run-heavy scheme, and as Mina noted, some of the concepts, you just watch them, feel too familiar to be trotting out Sunday after Sunday after Sunday for defenses not to pick up. But we do need a wide receiver to sort of further emerge to feel as though this offense is conducive to producing that kind of player. My question will be, is it going to be a classic Ravens maneuver where what they frequently do is they draft well and a guy may not emerge right away, but they've got players from their draft class last year, Devin Duvernay, very fast receiver out of Texas, James Proceh out of SMU, a sure-handed slot type wide receiver. Are we going to see that? Because if not, part of what the Ravens deal with in free agency is that the roster is so well built and has so many good players that are already paid a lot that their resources aren't up to what other teams have who have greater roster deficiencies. So I don't know that I'm quite yet certain that I have a specific takeaway on why there hasn't been a top-tier wide receiver with Lamar Jackson. But I think there's something to keep an eye on here going forward, Laura. It's a really interesting dynamic in play in Baltimore.
Yeah, you know, Phil, to your point, when it comes to the draft, and maybe if that's their path, Todd McShay's latest mock draft has the Ravens selecting Terrace Marshall Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU. And listen, like, maybe he's a guy that even almost instantly improves their offense and can be a guy that you could use in a deep threat situation because he is that type of player. Mina, is that the answer? Did they draft the receiver?
I think they should. The Ravens have needed an edge rusher as well with some of the losses in free agency. But at this point, I just think you got to go receiver. I like Marshall. Field knows I love Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. He's kind of my draft crush right now. I just think he has it all, the route running ability, the strength, the release. And I think those are some components that have been missing in this offense. Yes, they do have Mark Andrews, who's basically their number one wide receiver. Hollywood, you've got that speed element, but they don't have a true number one wide receiver, and I think Bateman does have that potential.
That's right.
Yeah, and one thing about Bateman, some people are like, oh, well, he went to Minnesota, which, by the way, we shouldn't throw shade on Minnesota. He fell in love with P.J. Fleck and that row the boat mindset there. That's why he went to Minnesota, and I think it served him quite well. We'll find out, of course, in the draft coming up this month.
This year, depending on what happens with the OTAs in the offseason, we'll take every rep we can get with the ones and with him as the starter. And we'll do the same thing in training camp.
We have a lot of experience in that room when you look at it now. When you combine Andy and Nick, that's a lot of games in the NFL. So, I think it does bode well for a young quarterback to enter that room with the experience of those two guys and some of the accolades they have in our league.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jeff, is drafting Trask or any quarterback a smart move for the Bears?
Heck no, absolutely not. You're both about to get fired if you can't win some games. You better get some guys who are going to hit the field this year and help you win. You know, offensive line is always a need for them to address. Receiver, even with Robinson coming back, somebody to help. But I would tell you an edge rusher would be where I would look at that number. They need to help Khalil Mack. Robert Quinn only got 2 sacks last year. Somebody's got to help get pressure if they want that defense to get back where they want it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Right before the Bears select Trask in his mock draft, McShay has Washington adding another quarterback to their roster, selecting Texas A&M's Kellen Mond, 51st overall. But Ron Rivera isn't in a rush to find his next QB.
If you put all the other pieces into place and now you start going forward, when that guy does show up, when that guy is in the right position, you can grab him. I went through it the other way. My first stint as a head coach in Carolina, we drafted the quarterback of the future for us in the first round. At that point, we had not put all the other pieces around Cam Newton. So I've always thought, wow, you know, if you could do it the other way where you put all the other pieces around and then go out and get your quarterback, man, that might be a pretty good situation too.
Mina, you like how Washington has approached the QB position?
I do because of where they're picking in this draft, where they would actually have to reach for one of those special quarterbacks. I think they're better off staying where they are, getting a tackle, which is a position of great need for them and a position that is very rich in the first round of this draft, waiting for next year to go after that quarterback. They can win now with Ryan Fitzpatrick, see what they've got in Heinicke, and be patient.
Maybe the biggest surprise in McShay's latest mock draft is Justin Fields, ESPN senior draft analyst. Todd McShay has the Patriots trading up for the Ohio State quarterback at number 11 overall, meaning he falls all the way to 11. Field, what's your take on that projection?
Yeah, first of all, Laura, we have to throw earmuffs on Mina when we talk about Justin Fields going to the Patriots in a mock draft. But if you think about this Patriots offseason, no one can deny that they got decidedly more talented through free agency. Whether the pay was what people expected them to shelve out to these respective free agents or not is sort of not part of the conversation that I want to focus in on right now. The roster is in very good shape. The big question is whether they have their quarterback of the future on the roster in Cam Newton. Based off how last year finished, the answer would be no. There's hope that he can resurrect his early season form from 2020 going into 2021. But if they got Justin Fields and their pathway to the quarterback position for the future was cemented, watch out, AFC East. Once again, the Patriots will be back in a hurry.
If Justin Fields falls to the New England Patriots at 11, I'm calling for an investigation. This is bigger than Spygate. It's bigger than Deflategate. We got to do That's a new right. Wells report. It would be so outrageous for a quarterback of his caliber to go there. And if it does happen, there should be a celebration in all of New England. And conversely, guys, there should be a protest, a riot in Denver, which is picking before New England. Yeah. Because if the Broncos were to actually pass on Fields, Todd has him taking a cornerback, and stick with Drew Lock, who just frankly hasn't shown the sort of accuracy and decision-making that would justify that sort of choice, I would be devastated as a Broncos fan and furious to miss out on that opportunity. But man, Justin Fields in New England, my blood is boiling just thinking about it.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, this just pains me to think about what would happen with the Patriots if they get Fields. I mean, they could go on another unprecedented run, right? I mean, you put this guy together with the staff that they have, the players are going to put together, they will win football games. But I'm with Mina. Like, listen, even getting past San Francisco, if they decide to go with Jones, or go yes. a different direction, the Falcons there, the Broncos there. Like, I mean, how would Fields get that low? There is no way. This kid is way too good to think he's going to go all the way to 11. I would be completely shocked. I'm all on board with Mina. If he gets down there, there's some GMs who are way ahead of that. They should get fired before Belichick gets there, man. That would be absolutely devastating for the AFC East.
Yeah, just a reminder that Belichick was actually at Mac Jones' second pro day the other day instead of Justin Fields. But either way, that could just be a smokescreen no matter what. Mina, I don't think this is going to happen. And just a reminder, mock drafts are projections, right? And these guys are doing the best they can, putting a lot of information together. But let's live in a world where this does happen. What do you think about Fields with the weapons that New England now has, especially after free agency?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I think it would be really exciting, Laura, especially because those weapons have, as you said, evolved so much. It's a different situation from last year. The offensive line, still very good. Run game, still very good. But they've gone out and they've added those two tight ends, as well as deep threat Nelson Agholor. We've seen how good Justin Fields' deep passing, yep. his accuracy is down the field. At Ohio State, he is used to playing an offense that uses a ton of play action, that uses him as a runner, really doing a lot of the things we thought New England might do with Cam Newton last year. We were hoping they would do with Cam Newton. They can do those things with Justin Field, and that should terrify the rest of the NFL.
Man, I tell you what, this thing has really got me thinking, Ooh. And I'm not really sure how I feel about it either. Draft cannot get here soon enough. And if I had a dollar for every Bengals fan that says we'd be out of our minds if we didn't take Penei Sewell, I'd be doing pretty well for myself. It's the Oregon left tackle's pro day today. You see him right there. Don't worry, Cincinnati brass was on hand. Question is, will they really take Sewell at that pick number 5? Or like McShay's latest mock draft suggests, a receiver in Jamar Chase instead, or maybe Kyle Pitts, the tight end. And look, ESPN senior draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay both have Penei Sewell as the first offensive lineman off the board in their most recent mocks. Kiper has the Vikings trading up to 9th overall to select the Oregon offensive tackle, while McShay has the Chargers reuniting Sewell with Justin Herbert at the 13th pick. And if you're Justin Herbert, you're like, man, I hope that happens. Listen, Jeff, I feel like because he opted out last season in college football, people haven't seen Penei Sewell in a while. Just remind us how talented he actually is.
Yeah, this is a plug-and-play day one starter, right? I mean, when you talk about the upside from a physicality perspective, I mean, the guy is just built like a brick house. You just saw he did 30 reps at a tackle position. That's really well done. Now, look at the explosion. I mean, he has a nice angle, gets the linebacker to step up inside, knocks him off his feet. What's he going to do here? He's going to shoulder up, nice square shoulder, sees the linebacker drop, go find work. Look at the nastiness right here. I mean, he de-cleats him, right? I mean, you just see a platter of ribs right there. Go get some. Buffet is open, baby, and he did it. When you look at this kid, he brings the ferocity that you're looking for, the attitude, but the talent, right? The balance, the strength, the hand strike, all the things that you're looking for a 10-year starter at left tackle. He checks all the boxes. And I'm going to tell you, we just talked about if Justin Fields got down, if Sewell got down to the Chargers, that would be the same celebration for the Chargers because this guy is that good. He will change an organization because of his talent.
Man, I was so excited when I saw that Sewell's pro day was today and that Jeff Saturday was on the show because yes. I knew it was the perfect match of talent and talent. Here's the best way I can describe how good Penei Sewell is. Offensive line is the hardest position. The offensive line as a unit is just the hardest position for casuals to evaluate when you're watching football, right? But when you watch Oregon highlights, you can see how good he is. It doesn't matter how much you know about offensive line play. You can see him dominating, looking for work on just about every play. In fact, he stands out, frankly, more than Justin Herbert did a couple years ago. That's how good he was as a team. Now, for Cincinnati, it seems like a no-brainer, but the decision is complicated by a couple of factors. One, a couple years ago, they did draft a left tackle of the future in Jonah Williams out of Alabama at 11th overall. He's been banged up 2 years in a row now. That's meaningful. They went out and signed Riley Reiff to play right tackle. Two, Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase are also available there, and they would also really help your young quarterback. And I think that's why this isn't so easy for Cincinnati as it would otherwise seem, because those two guys are really, really gifted as well and could be generational players.
Yeah, I sort of have this mentality regarding Penei Sewell and the Bengals, Laura, that like just don't overthink it, right? So if I want to contribute an extra dollar to the Bengals fans that have told you, like, let's take Penei Sewell at fifth overall, like, I would be glad to do so. And I think what makes Sewell so unique, and by the way, the last time we saw him on a football field in a game setting, he was 19 years old. He doesn't turn 20 until just before the 21, till the halfway point of this upcoming season. This guy has so much room to grow, and he's already shown so much already. You think about all the elite athletes that even within just that division the Bengals have to block. Myles Garrett and TJ Watt, chief amongst them. Penei Sewell is sort of the offensive tackle equivalent, the kind of guy that his footwork, his ability to change direction, how fluid he is, all of those factors contribute to a guy that you may get him with your first step, but he's going to be able to recover. He's instinctive. He's powerful. I think this is the kind of player that basically checks every box. If I'm Cincinnati and he's sitting there at pick five, I turn that card right in and don't think twice about it.
And he also gives credence to the philosophy that offensive linemen are athletes, too. And, Jeff, I said that for you. We're sucking up to you today here on NFL Live. Hey, listen, Jeff, I want to ask you. You know, you've got Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech. You've got Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern. This is a deep class when it comes to offensive linemen that teams could get. Hmm. How big is the gap between what you see out of Sewell and then some of these other guys?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're exactly right, Laura. It is a very deep class. I would say the difference is when you look at like Slater, his technique is flawless, right? He's built to play the position, but from a physical standpoint, he doesn't measure up. You saw the athleticism in Mina's clip and Fields' clip, right? This guy can just do things at the next level that each of the other guys you mentioned, they're just not capable of doing. And he's still ascending, which is just absolutely remarkable at that position. So the gap is big again. That's why I think you have that jump. There are other guys who can come in, play for a long time. I'm not trying to discredit him, I mean them, but when you look at his athletic ability and his technique and his fundamentals, you put all that together, it is a full and complete package. I mean, this kid, I'm telling you, when you talk about plug and play and will not struggle against top-rated rushers when he begins, that's pretty substantial. Again, these other guys, they're going to have to, whether it be physical or technique, have to catch up a little bit. I think this guy walks in and can show you what he is, and he's just going to be an amazing football player, in my opinion.
You know, and there's two sides of the coin of opting out. Yeah, he hasn't played in a football game in a while, but he's also really fresh. He's coming in with fresh legs, no injury concerns, anything
Absolutely.
Like that. All right, let's take another look at Todd McShay's mock draft 4.0 that came out yesterday. You see that number two spot, really important. The Jets taking the quarterback, Zach Wilson, but our great quarterback, Steve Young, had this to say about maybe what the 49ers should do. Listen to this.
There's no question in my mind that if they can figure out how to get Zach, that's their number one first choice. I just don't know how they get it done. The Jets have committed to Zach and recruited the family. I mean, I don't know how that gets undone, but, you know, look, a lot can happen. I think Zach would love it. The family would love it. You know, nothing would make anyone happier. I think the 49ers, that's their unstated first choice. So that would be wonderful.
Okay, really interesting, Mina, when you hear this idea. Look, as Steve Young's saying himself, how can they even get it done? You know, if the Jets are that stuck on Wilson at number two. But let's live in a world where they do somehow, and Zach Wilson ends up at three to the 49ers. What do you think?
Sure. Let's say if the Jets were to, stay with Darnold, which I do not think is going to happen, but if that were what happened and the Niners actually had their choice, I would still go with Justin Fields. Wow. It's close for me, and I see how people watch Wilson in that outside zone offense at BYU, and they use some of the principles that San Francisco does, and it makes a ton of sense. But I think with Fields, you not only have a proven track record against a much more challenging slate of defenses, you really didn't see Wilson deal with adversity in college behind that offensive line. You also have a combination of downfield accuracy and athleticism that I think would be a phenomenal fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense. I understand that Ohio State's offense doesn't look like San Francisco's offense in the same way. It's so much more vertical. But if you just look at the tools, and I know Zach Wilson has incredible arm talent, I think Fields would be a phenomenal fit for them.
Yeah, either way, if you look at that three spot in the 49ers, whichever quarterback gets lucky enough to go there, because they are drafting a quarterback, is going to have instant success, most likely. All right. Well, next week is important for Aaron Rodgers for a reason that has nothing to do with football. He begins his two-week run as guest host of Jeopardy! Love the music. In typical Rodgers fashion, he prepared for the role by analyzing the film, telling our Packers reporter Rob Domofsky that he watched hours of the late, great Alex Trebek taking pages of notes. And when he showed up for his first practice, Rodgers said, quote, "They weren't ready for me." As for Rodgers, the football player, he spoke to Kenny Mayne this afternoon and was asked about his future in Green Bay.
Do you want to finish your career there? Do you want to be a lifer in Green Bay? I mean, it's kind of been your team so far.
Yeah, so far it's definitely been my team. I said last year, I didn't know if that was actually possible to be able to finish there. I still feel like that's kind of where we're at. I mean, I don't know that a lot of that's in my hands, but I guess we'll kind of see as we go.
Well, when you say things like that, then people, he just said it's not in his hands. He might be right. Like, things get misinterpreted. Wouldn't you like to just proclaim, I'm there. I'm your guy. I want to keep throwing for Lombardi Avenue all day.
Ken, you and I both know that's not how it works.
No.
So our Rob Domofsky writing earlier this week, if you thought the Green Bay Packers faced a challenge with the salary cap this year, wait until you see what they're up against in 2022. Combine that with the fact that the Packers haven't made a single adjustment to Aaron Rodgers' contract. The 2021 season might be lining up as their last best chance at another Super Bowl run before they turn things over to Jordan Love or whichever quarterback will succeed Rodgers. So, Field, if we buy into Rob's point here and we call this a must-win season for the Packers, do they have the personnel to win the Super Bowl?
They do, Laura. I really believe that. I mean, at the end of last regular season, many of us, present company included, thought that they were going to wind up playing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. They obviously lost in the NFC Championship game, in a game where they left far too many plays on the field, specifically in the second half, and Rodgers had a somewhat uncharacteristic performance in some ways. But they had several turnovers forced on defense that they were there. They should have maybe, they should have been representing the NFC in the Super Bowl if they had just buttoned up a couple of closing plays on drive. So this team, I think, is fully capable of being right back in the mix next season. I just think that the inflection point could come by next offseason, if not sooner, if Aaron Rodgers' unhappiness becomes a thing. I think there's certainly some uncertainty in his voice right there. We'll see if that uncertainty translates to unhappiness right now as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, Field. I mean, I think if you look at last year, I mean, they had everything. Davey Bakhtiari gets hurt, their left tackle, so the Buccaneers got after him from a pass rush perspective. But to your point, they had the plays to make. This team has still lined up 2 years in a row, NFC Championship game. They're going to get better. They understand Rodgers is going to be there. Get a receiver, get someone to help with Adams on the outside just to give them a breath of fresh air. I think they do those things, they're right back in it. But here's the deal. When you talk about a must-win, the Packers don't – this is not a must-win for them. They can extend Rodgers. Like, they're doing this to themselves, right? I mean, you can't stay stuck on stupid. This is an MVP from last year. He's going to continue to play well. And by the way, whether you start Jordan Love next year or 2 years or potentially 3 years, he's not going to be as good as Aaron Rodgers is. That's just a fact. That's no slight to Jordan Love or who he's going to be as a player. But think about the level that Aaron Rodgers is playing at. I do not understand this in the slightest. They could help themselves on the cap. They can continue to win and give them themselves chance at the Super Bowl. Whatever they're doing in Green Bay, I do not understand it. It could all be solved with one simple meeting, one simple contract extension, and life would be good in Green Bay. And all the fans would love it. How good would that be, Mina? You know what I'm saying? It'd be all good for everybody.
Everyone be all into it. Listen, Mina, you know, the thing is, it felt like things really started to sour a little more with the draft last year when they took Jordan Love. So what do the Packers need to do in this draft?
Well, I think they need to compensate for some of the mistakes they made in the last draft. And it wasn't just taking Jordan Love. I think A.J. Dillon taking a running back in the second round doesn't look good after you went out and extended Aaron Jones when you could have spent either of those picks on teams right, that are players that aren't going to be backups on your roster. There aren't a lot of holes on this Packers team. I agree with Field and Jeff. I think they're equipped to return to the playoffs, especially with Bakhtiari coming back. But there are some areas they need to address that they frankly needed to address for a couple years now. Linebacker, I think Todd has them taking Jamin Davis in his latest mock. That makes sense, but boy, it would be tough to see them pass on a receiver again with their first overall pick. They got a true number one in Devontae Adams. I like Alan Lazard. I think they found a nice gem in Big Bob Tonyan. But there are a lot of wide receivers in this draft who could take advantage of the sort of double coverage that Devontae Adams draws. Where they're picking perhaps the Rondale Moore and Elijah Moore, the two Moores make sense for them. Maybe Kadarius Toney, I don't know. There's a bunch of options that could help Aaron Rodgers win now, and that's where they need to be focused.
Yeah, you know, Mina, as you're saying that, I'm just sitting here thinking about some of those weapons that will be available when they're picking. Kadarius Toney is a do-it-all type wide receiver. You can do so much with him. Let's say if the Packers end up passing on a receiver, I'm not asking you to read Aaron Rodgers' mind, but what's that going to be like on Friday, maybe, when we're talking about the draft that happened on Thursday?
Well, I think to use the language Rodgers has used in the past, he's going to have a double scotch if that happens, would be my guess.
That's what I thought you might say. All right, time for one more thing before we go. Adam Schefter got you pretty good yesterday.